Thank you for joining us today on Glad Tidings, and you're listening to Pastor Linda Koo. We hope you are inspired by this message.
I came in this morning, and Pastor Michael's wife, Gwen, what's I say Gwen, I think of Pastor Gwen. Gwen, same, say, she point at me, say, got boyfriend, are you? Because she say, you wear so nice nowadays, I got boyfriend. So, I want to tell everybody here, you can go back and tell your friends also, or our members. Not the wedding date. That's the word, not yet. Not yet. Never say no, huh? Never say never. Whoa, preach it. Because last 2 weeks ago, or Wednesday, I'm in charge of the Ladies Connect group too. So I went for this Connect group, the Shah Alam one. I was in a house in Shah Alam, Glen Marie. And there were ladies, and this group is not the young one. It's the... I know Nick, Wick will always say the low cock cock one. No, don't say that. They are the matured ones, okay? Matured. And then, wow, out of a sudden, one of the Ladies Connect group members say, I'm going to invite you to my wedding. Wow, I was, who said that? Nobody told me anything. How come? It was just a... out of the blue, I'm getting married. She's about 50 plus or 60, I'm not sure. Someone want to clap hand, okay? I will tell you, you clap your hands for her. She's marrying one of a church member. She comes to our Connect group, but she stays in Sakin Chang. So she's marrying someone over there. So it's not too late. For all of you 50s and 60s. Yeah, it's not too late. But please don't come and tell me, Pastor Linda, I have someone for you. Don't, that's what I said, see? I said, don't come and recommend me. Disobedient, right? Because I will find my own. No need your help. Yeah, actually, I'm already married to Jesus. So no need. Yeah, but, God have his way, right? He will be... But this hall not big enough, no, Pastor Michael, how? If I invite everybody, not big enough, this hall. Live streaming? Borrow Calvary Church? Yeah, everyone very interested in our personal, the romance life. But as I said today, as Levi said, today is... Palm Sunday, the day we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus to Jerusalem. Okay, so the name originates from the palm. The palm. Someone say this is not the palm Jesus used. Quite alike, right? Same, right? Same. Very good. Different. This is a Malaysian palm, isn't it? The palms that were used to be wave, right? And they honored Jesus with these palms. They took their cloaks out. Anyone want to take a cloak out for me to show? Huh? Any cloaks, any coat that you want to put on the floor? Nobody want to. No, cannot. Mine is white color. They put the cloaks, right, on the road. They also wave the palms. And this is also called the Passion Week. Okay, the Passion Week, today is the first day, the beginning of Passion Week that will last until Good Friday and Resurrection, the Passion Week today. So next week, remember again our Easter Healing Rally. Bring someone, let them hear about the goodness of God. Let them hear about the love of God for them. Let them hear about healing. God brings healing. So next week will be also our Healing Rally. Okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Saturday is not 8, it'll be over already. Make sure Saturday is 5. Okay, it's a different time. Okay, let's go on to the message. As Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem. So he's nearing the end of his life. He was going to the cross. For God, hi, those who are online, I hope you will come back soon to join us if you can. And so do join us, right, for next week on the Easter weekend. So the beginning of the end. Today is the beginning of the end, known as the Passion Week. Luke 19:10 says that Jesus came to seek and to save. And now, today is the time. This was the place where he is going to start to secure salvation for mankind. Right? This is the time that's so important for Jesus to go to the cross. He will secure salvation for us. Let's read together. Let's stand to our feet as we read Luke chapter 19, 28 to 44. Okay, Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Let's read together. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time God's coming to you." So the triumphant, oh, please be seated. Or you could stand and join me. The Palm Sunday event, the triumphant entry to Jerusalem, is recorded in all four Gospels. So every Gospel has this story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So it's different aspect of the story, and therefore you have a full picture when you read through all this gospel. And from here, I want to use various characters in this Palm Sunday event to use the various aspects or characters in this story that we can relate it to ourselves to see how each of these characters relate to Jesus. Because my title is on Welcoming the King. Welcoming the King. So how did each of these characters welcome the King of Kings? First of all, let's start with the disciples. And these disciples, how did they welcome the King? I put it as they are part of the welcoming team for this event, the Passion, this Palm Sunday. In Luke 19, 29 to 35, tells us that Jesus, on the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples. Okay, he said, go to the village ahead, and as enter it, you will find a colt tied there. Go untie it and bring it to me. And when someone says, why are you untying the donkey? Just say, the Lord needs it. Now, when you read it, or when you read it, did you ever think, or you just glean over it? you just pass by or skim over it. Or did you say, hey, is it possible? Just come and ask and you say, just release the donkey. Okay, go take. Let's pick now to everyday, today, our current situation. Okay, I only use people I know. So in a sense of know that they can, I can use that illustration. Eddie Young. Hey, example, Jesus would call you. Eddie, go to opposite, there is a Honda showroom, right? Huh? You know Honda? Honda showroom? You want to buy Honda cars, it's opposite. That's why some of us are drawing Honda. Just go across. And you just go across and you will see a car. And the number plate, don't buy Angpak Eco, I'm just telling you now. VMC. Number 7. I tried to get 7, but cannot get 1. Too expensive, right? So I can say now. VMC 7. I was checking up, actually, what are the latest numbers for cars today? You know, I was just Googling. And the number plate is for, I think, Selangor is BRS. Am I right? Anyone got a new car? BRS. Then for KL is the VMC. And I was thinking, I look across somebody's one state car plate. You know, never buy a police car now. Police, you know, the state of police, because they are the alphabet, now the letters now is RAT. Spells RAT. I wouldn't want a car that's RAT. So buy a KL car, VMC. Seven. So Eddie, go to the showroom. Oh, for Eddie, no. Okay, I change. Not Honda. Go down further, BMW. For Eddie, he will say BMW. Okay, go further, BMW. Go inside. Look at that car number. Make sure that's car number. You go inside. There sure will be the key. You start it, and you come and bring that car to Jesus, to me. And when anyone says, hey, what are you doing? Taking the car. The owner of the shop will say, oh, then all you got to say, very simple. The Lord needs it. That's it. If you were the disciple, you would say, you sure? Okay, Jesus, you sure? After they will wake me up, they will arrest me, take me to the police. But here the disciples, they just did what Jesus said. Ask them. And to me, they have that relationship with Jesus already, that they know whatever Jesus asked them to do, they can know it will work. What Jesus said will come to pass. It will happen. And exactly, you read, right? The people say, huh? Yes, why? And then they took it and they let that donkey go. Okay? So we see the donkey's obedience, the disciples' obedience. But actually, the donkey also obeyed. Yeah, not? The donkey, you know, donkey always say stubborn donkey, right? The donkey get, whatever. But this donkey also followed. Obedient disciples, obedient donkey also. And they went. And just as Jesus has said. Today, actually, if you think about it, have you ever considered, oh, Jesus is all-powerful, Jesus, nothing is impossible with Jesus, right? Why can't he just snap a finger and the donkey can appear. However high, whatever age, whatever, the donkey can appear.
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the word.
He can just put at a bush, the donkey up, and you just take it. But he chose to say, go get the donkey, go and get the donkey, go, and da-da-da-da. It is because I believe you can see that Jesus desires to choose people into that ministry. Jesus' desire is that people get involved in the ministry. You and I will go into the ministry. God values obedience. God values also the people who will say, yes, I will obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. How many of you have heard it? Right? It's because of the story. If you read the story of how God has asked King Saul, he said, go and destroy the Amalekite people. Completely destroy them. And when he went, he disobeyed. What did he do? He spared the king Agag, and also he kept the best livestock. And when the prophet Samuel came, he said, what happened? You didn't completely obey God? He said, oh, you know why? It's because I kept it to sacrifice to the Lord. It is for the Lord. And of course, because of what happened, is Samuel who said, God says what? To obey is better than sacrifice. That's the lesson. So obedience is very important, I believe, valued by God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ. Better than all the rituals we follow, better than all the things you perform. God is interested in our obedience. Turn to your neighbor and say, obey. Is that obey who? Obey God. And these disciples are amazing. They just obeyed God. They submitted to God's will, right, with a sincere heart. Obedience is not grudgingly. It's about your relationship with God and you're obeying Him because of that submission, the love, the relationship with God, a heart that is submitted to God. So first of all, God values obedience. Secondly, God chooses to use people. As I said, He could have used, our terms like, oh, my magic, the donkey can appear. But God chooses to use people. And turn to your neighbor and say, God choose to use you. Yes. What did your neighbor say? Why me? You lah. Why am I me? You. And I hope it was not, I hope that you say, amen. When God says, God choose you, he say, amen, amen, that God is willing to choose me. Because God loves to use people in the work of his kingdom. And here, I believe there are many who are used, that God has chosen to use for God. Now, you know the disciples, there are two, right? Two disciples who went. But have you ever considered the other side? There are also disciples. I believe, to me, that the people who said, take the donkey, would have some relationship with Jesus. Because they also, the two disciples said what? The Lord has need of it. Remember, he said, why? The Lord has need. So that means they wouldn't say, oh, the Lord, okay, the Lord needs it. There was an understanding of that Lord. And so therefore, there are people who would go, throughout chooses to go and do things, whatever. There's also those that God would want us to just give unto him. God doing that area of going and giving, and many times it's both. We go and give of our resources to the Lord. God uses people. And today here, there are many involved in ministry. 8:15, we ask you to come a bit later because there are people praying up, saturating this place with the presence of God. That when you come in, that we have already prayed up this place, that you will receive the power, the anointing of God. This is very sacred to us, actually. You know, GTPJ, and many times, every weekend, you see that we honor this place. We ask you, come. Let the pastors, they just pray with you. Because theirs is here to us where you can meet the Lord with Him, meeting your needs, speaking to you, transforming you, changing you, healing you, doing something in your heart. So it's important, this place. We soak this place with prayer. And then if you're outside that, you can just fellowship. You can pray along in some of the one room that's dedicated. And then come together. Let's expect God to move even in this place. Now, one of the things I told Pastor Roger, okay, I will do some promotions here. Since the MCO, one of the things that is lacking is because we all went on Zoom. Remember or not? The connect groups all zooming around, zoom. I see you in the picture. You see me in the either phone or the notebook. And actually, honestly, I don't like Zoom connect groups. How many of you love connect groups in Zoom? Don't put your hand up after. It's because I can't see you face to face, pray with you, lay my hands on you and pray. It's different. Zoom connect groups is very different. I'm so happy. It's like every time I ask my Subang group member, what's going on? Which connect group got physical? Because I would like to go the physical one. I go to that house. I don't like Zoom because, you know, many of them will switch off the camera, you know. Then you don't know who on earth is that, no? You know, cannot see whether he's sleeping on the floor, sleeping on the bed, eating away, whatever, your camera, not talking to you, not responding. What type of connect group is that? Yeah, no. So we say we want connect group. And so you know where I'm going to, right? We need hosts. We need connect group hosts. Who has houses that belong to you? Can you put up your hand? Nobody there to put up. No, really, you have a home that God has provided for you. You have a, I want to say like a donkey, you have a donkey. You have a home. Huh? Nobody has home. Well, they're not, yes, you quickly go out and go down again. I still see that. We need home, seriously. A place where we can gather to worship, to, you know, just encourage one another. So you have a home. We don't care. No need to be a bungalow or whatever, because no, a home that we can come to, conducive for us, right, to worship, to pray for one another. So that's what we need, because we are going to do away with Zoom, right? I think, and of course, those people who are, we will find a way for this. You know, they say at night they can't drive and so on. Okay, don't worry, we also care for those oldies who feel it's a bit inconvenient to drive at night. Okay, so next one, okay, is the crowd. The crowd celebration. How does this crowd welcome the king? How did they welcome Jesus into Jerusalem? Now, let us look at this crowd. Now, the crowd, do you know that there are many, many, many people, right? Many people gathered in Jerusalem. Why? Because it's the Passover. So the Passover, they will come to celebrate what God has done for them in Egypt, right? When God set their forefathers free from Egypt to Canaan. So they would always celebrate, every year they would celebrate the Passover. And thousands of people would be gathered to celebrate. There was a great crowd to celebrate the festival. That's why there were so many people, you know, and you see, can you imagine the crowd? It's how you saw the picture, right? Yeah, here. Right? They're all, one, celebrating Passover. Number two, they also heard Jesus had healed, not only healed, has what? Raised up Lazarus from the dead. It was just before this happened. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And they wanted to see Jesus. They're all excited. And so they are also there, right, to see Jesus. And their crowds are there. One more thing. The crowds, they are crying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Glory to the high. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're raising their palms, they're putting the cloak on the floor, and they're raising their palms again and again. Many of them are doing that. Hosanna, Hosanna. To the Jews, when they do that, actually the word means save us, save now. Save now, pray, save now. So to the Jews or Judaism, it is appeal for divine help. For the Christians, when now we say, Hosanna, Hosanna, actually it is a cry of praise. It's worship, it's adoration. We want to worship the Lord. But for the Jews, for the Judaizers, actually it is help us, save us. So to them, when they are doing this, actually in their mind, they are looking for a political leader. They want a Messiah who will set them free from the Roman rule. Okay, not so much as the Messiah who will save them from their sin. So Jesus' kingship is different to their mind. This is a king who will set us free. We were free from Roman rule, and it was Hosanna, Hosanna, free us, set us free, save us. They hailed Jesus with the branches. But Jesus' agenda is different, right? His agenda, his purpose to come to Jerusalem here and come to die on the cross is in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came to die for the whole world. So the Hosanna, 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 they will still continue to do it until the expectations is broken. They will Hosanna, Hosanna, until they realize Jesus is not going to deliver them. And so the Hosanna became, crucify him! Crucify him! Kill him! Crucify him! And that happened just a few days down the road that they were calling for Jesus' crucifixion. It shows to me the fickleness of man. That people could change their mind so fast when they're worshipping, and after that, when the expectations is gone, they now want to crucify him. How about us? Have we been such that, you know, when we, God does not answer our prayers, our expectations as believers on what our faith can do, it did not come to pass, and therefore our hosannas come to quiet. No more praises. Quiet, no more encouragement. We're discouraged, despondent, we're discouraged that Jesus did not answer us the way we expected. So this reminds us of the rocky, you know, the seed that went to the, fell on the rocky soil. When, you know, the soil, the plant grew up, no soil, no water, it dwindled, it died. That's why Glad Tidings is into discipleship. We have put shift. These are the three major emphases. We want to shift in the area that you know that you're important. Everyone matters. You're family to us. All of us are family. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, you're family. Eh? No one there wants to say, family, your family next to you. You might not know the name yet. Huh? They are family members in Christ. Secondly, we want to do on discipleship. Discipleship is so crucial. Not just converts, not just believing in, you know, the basic doctrine. We want disciples. We want strong believers. Because when storms come, when difficulties come, we will stand. We will not be the people who will be waving, and when bad times come, we say, crucify him. We want to praise God. He is worthy. He is worthy to be worshipped. No matter what circumstances, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy. Let us not be yo-yo Christian, dependent on our circumstances, but Jesus is worthy. Whatever circumstances you are facing today, when you came, you might have a long argument with your husband, your children, but Jesus is worthy of your praise. Yes, he's worthy. Hallelujah. And the next group of people, and I hope and I pray, you know, that we do not have this. But there's always people you will meet who are quite like these people, the Pharisees. The Pharisees' stubbornness. If I ask you what are some words that would describe the Pharisees, one of the words you will say? Hypocrite. Huh? Right? Some of you will say hypocrite. Yeah. This hypocrite, how did they welcome? How do you welcome Jesus? You will say, they did not welcome Jesus. Did they? They did not say, Hosanna, Hosanna. They did not. They tried to stop people from even saying Hosanna. Stop it. Yeah, they say, right? Jesus, stop them. They tried to stop it. So the hypocrites, they say one thing, they did another thing. They are also very critical people. I'm going down a few words, and I hope that we say, oh God, forgive me if I'm this. Right? Critical, they're quick to judge. Ignoring their own fault. They judge people, they ignore their own. They don't see their own faults. They're hostile. They want to kill Jesus. Right? They're hostile people. Very self-righteous. Very prideful. They are very righteous people. I thank God I'm not like this fella. You know, so sinful. I'm not like this fella. I'm not like... I thank God I'm, you know, so self-righteous. They are very narrow-minded. Very, the interpretation of the religious rites, oh, we're so narrow. No openness. That's why they, you know, they are very, very, everything also got a lot of rules. Then, I think this is the thing that saddens me if you are a Pharisee. It is the lack of genuine faith. He doesn't have faith. They don't have faith. They might know the scripture, the Torah, they can quote it, but they don't have genuine faith. They don't have a devotion for God. They don't love God. They don't have a desire for God's word to be inputted into their life. So I always think, why did these Pharisees hate Jesus? Why they hated him so much? They want to kill him. They will say, stop worshiping him and all. It's because why? Of course, you will say jealousy, right? True. They were jealous people. Because people were flocked to Jesus because he mixed with even the grassroots, right? The publicans, even the prostitutes. And all he would, you know, fellowship and he would, you know, minister to them. But it's fair to see, are always away. So therefore, these people are jealous that people flocked to Jesus. Another thing is because Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. He would say, these people are like whitewashed tomb, you know. And of course, they were furious because you say such thing about me. I'm the leader of the Jews. How can you? So, as I was telling the first congregation, if people say, hey, you are like the Pharisee, don't think it's a compliment. Definitely. You say, oh, hey, Pharisee. And then you say, Pharisees are the leaders of the Jews. No, I'm the leader. No. Pharisees, oh, everything is very bad one. Huh? And the last thing is because they fear Jesus, because he's making such a quote-unquote commotion, you know, in Jerusalem, in Israel, the Romans will recognize and they will give us problem. So therefore, they hated Jesus. And so therefore, they said, stop. Stop the worship. Jesus, stop your disciples. You know why? One of the things that the disciples were shouting is a messianic psalm. That means a psalm is in the book of Psalms. It is foretelling, it's talking about the Messiah that's coming. Because in Psalms 118, verses 25 to 26, it says, Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. So they're shouting, actually, the psalms. And these Pharisees will know what they're shouting. How can you shout this psalm which is for our Messiah? You, he is not our Messiah. He's a fake Messiah. He is not the one who we are waiting for. He is not the fulfillment. So therefore, they ask Jesus to shut up, to ask their disciples to keep quiet. And of course, you know what Jesus said, Jesus said, if they do not cry out, if they were to keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And so thank God that day the stones didn't cry out. But it would be nice if they keep quiet, and then you want to hear the cry out, the stones, oh, hallelujah, hosanna. But that day, they continued to cry out. So today, as I was saying, today, the stones didn't cry out in Glad Tidings PJ because Glad Tidings people are worshipping the Lord. We don't have stones. We don't have anything worshipping that's outside of human beings because you are worshipping. No need the stones. And if the stones, if the people do not cry out, even Jesus says, all creation will shout the name of the Lord. The mountains, the trees, the birds, the cattle, the fields, all will cry out and give praises to God. So, let's carry on. There will always be hypocrites. If I ask you, you might be able to name me some too. Somebody is, supposed to call themselves Christian, and then they are, there might be. But we check ourselves, the main thing, Main thing is that we ourselves be real. Our faith will be genuine. Our faith is real. So there'll be critics that will discourage you. Say, hey, why do you go to church so regularly? Why are you serving, you know, serving so fervently? Why are you going for prayer meeting? Why? All these things. Just be nominal. No need to be so committed one. You have a lot of other things. You cannot have fun. And there'll be a lot of critics, a lot of discouragers. But I tell you, Jesus is worthy to be served. Jesus is worthy to be praised. Jesus is worthy to be the number one in our lives. Don't let anybody deter you from your faith. Jesus is worthy. Let's go to the last point. The last character, of course, the most important, is King Jesus. King Jesus and his sacrificial love. So they brought Jesus and put him on a donkey or a colt. Why a donkey? Why must he go on a donkey? You know, I would say definitely he should go on a horse, right? Horse is, wow, more king, right? In a sense, a horse is more like, I want to say BMW and Honda. Okay, never mind. After people drive Honda, scold me. But what I'm saying is, a horse, there's a class about it, than riding on a horse or, a donkey or an ass, you know, stubborn years, that, eon, and whatever. But the donkey represents something. It demonstrates the character of his kingdom, the character of a kingdom. Okay, the person who is on a military campaign will not drive a donkey into the city. He will ride a horse. A donkey is a noble beast of burden. And people who rides this are the men of peace, the priest, the merchant. But the generals and kings, if they will go to the war, they will ride a horse. But if a general and king will go to a city in peace, he will ride a donkey. So Jesus, you can see, it is a demonstration of the character of his kingdom, right, of peace. He came in peace. Not bringing peace to, you know, the Israel kingdom or the Roman kingdom. It is individual peace, personal peace that you need. So therefore, the second thing is also, his sacrificial love is the deliberate fulfillment of prophecy. What Jesus did riding on a donkey is fulfillment of prophecy. It's not saying, suka, suka, go on a donkey. No, it is already prophesied that Jesus will come on a donkey. The prophecy is found in Zechariah in the Old Testament. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, this is the fulfillment. This is the prophecy. See. Your king comes to you. Many years before Jesus rode on the donkey, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and he's riding on a donkey. The exact fulfillment of what Zechariah said, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Therefore, we can know Jesus' word, the word of God, the Bible can be trusted. 300 over prophecies was prophesied related to first coming of Jesus. 300 over, right? For the tomorrow's rain, you can say, tomorrow's going to rain, tomorrow's not going to rain. You can 150% now, whether right or not. So then it's 300 prophecies that Jesus, about his coming on earth, the first coming, it came to pass. Wow, don't you think our God can take care of you? Don't you think that God can be trusted? Don't you think that the Word of God can be trusted? So as you read, as you are shaped by the Word, go into the Word of God, being shaped by God's Word, and you believe it, you will be shaped. You will be stronger as a believer. But you know, this is the time that Jesus wanted his people to know he is Savior. Do you know, when you read the other times when Jesus did miracles, you know, he will always say, keep it to yourself. Shh. Don't say anything first, right? When he saved someone or when he healed somebody, he said, keep it, don't tell. But now, in this time, it was his time to reveal who he is, that even riding on a donkey to Jerusalem is a fulfillment that he is your Savior. He is the people's Savior. And that's why he was so sad. The Bible says he wept. When he came to Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, he saw Jerusalem. He wept. And this wept talks about sobbing. He cried for the city of Jerusalem. He was not crying for himself. Though he was going to the cross, he did not cry for himself. He was crying for the people. Because these people, though they can see this Savior, him riding on donkey is a fulfillment of what was prophesied. The Pharisees would know the scripture, but yet they did not receive him. They did not receive him. So he was weeping for them because these people will be lost. The peace that would come with Jesus, the peace that would come when you accept him, when you relate to him as a Savior and Lord, this peace they will not receive. They will never have because they rejected the Son of Man. They rejected Jesus. They will never have this peace. And this is the same. If you want peace, receive the King of Kings. Welcome the King of Kings into your life. Another thing that Jesus wept is because of his prediction. He predicted the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground. You and your children between your walls, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming. He saw what was going to happen to Jerusalem. He predicted it. You know, in about AD 67, after Jesus predicted all this, AD 67, the Jews revolted against the Roman rule. They came against the Roman rule, and because the Romans had enough of the Jewish revolt. So in AD 70, they came to Jerusalem, they embanked, they sieged, there was a siege, the embankment. They starved them, you know, and without water, with whatever, all this food that's lacking. One of the historian wrote this, and as I read it, I was feeling so sad for this nation. All hope of escaping was now cut off from the Jews. Together with their liberty of going out of the city, they were all, right, embankment, they were sieged. Then the famine devoured the people. Whole houses, whole families died, and the lanes of the city were full of dead bodies of the aged, the children also, the young men, as they wandered about the marketplaces like shadows, all swelled with famine, and they fell down dead wheresoever their misery seized them. For a time, the dead were buried, but afterwards, too many dead bodies already. When they could not do that, they had them cast out down the wall into the valleys below. And today, if you go to Israel, this AD 70 destruction of Jerusalem, you will see also the stones. Any picture? The stones at the ground level. They are left there to remember the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Exactly as Jesus prophesied. So therefore, Jesus, when he knew this, he cried. He cried for what was going to happen to his people. Jesus wept for the loss. And for us as Glad Tidings members, if you want to be a blessing to our community, to our friends, to the churches, to the people around us, to our unbelieving, pre-believing friends, we should, as Jesus wept, cry for them, pray for them. You know, I remember one of my Asunta girls. I have to cut this. This is online. I remember wanting to share Christ with her some years ago already. But the first thing she said to me, maybe some of your people will say that, you have your religion, I have mine. And that's the thing to shut us off, you know. You have your religion, I have mine. And recently I got a message from a friend that this same person is now in UH, and she's dying of cancer. ICU, not sure how much time left. And I just remember the time when I tried to share, you know. Pray for me, I'm going to try to visit her. At least give one more chance, Lord, one more time to visit her in hospital tomorrow. And the word of God says here, what happened to the Jews? What happened to them? They say, because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. It's so sad. Jesus is the Messiah riding into Jerusalem. They did not recognize the time of God's visitation. They did not recognize it. All of us, Jesus definitely will many, many times visit us, speak to us, call us, plead with us. But things He doesn't want to happen to us. So do not neglect to recognize the time of God's coming to you. Serve Him, because that will be the best for you. When you serve God, He will be the one who will bless your life. Sometimes we find purposeless, right, in our life. We say, hey, get up early morning, go to work, come back. Next day, go up, lunch, dinner, da-da-da. And it goes on. And if you don't live out the purposes of God in your life, honestly, to me, it's a boring life, I would say. I don't want to live this type of life, actually. So God's visitation to you, when He speaks to you to do something, answer His call. Don't say, next, okay, God, yeah, I know You want me to serve. You want me to do this next time when I retire, when I go old. No, do not neglect to recognize the time of God's coming to you. God is always speaking. And I thank God those many of us who have said, yes, I am willing. I still remember I was standing, not here, I was at the back of the church. And there was a calling. The preacher was saying, God has called you, some of you, to full-time ministry. Today, you must answer that call. And I was standing there, I felt the call of God, the visitation time of God upon me to serve Him, to give my life. I was only about early 20s, 22, 21, 22. And I said, if I don't answer now, God, I don't think I'll ever answer. So therefore, I walked down. Walked down the aisle to say, God, I'm willing. Do in my life what You want. There are many visitations of God into your life. When you hear it, obey. That's when you will find the fulfillment, you find the joy. I've never regretted coming to serve the Lord full time. There's more blessing, but God has different purpose for everyone. Today, when God comes to you, do not neglect the day of His visitation. Do not forget it. Recognize the time of God's visitation to you. In conclusion, the donkey is another character. The fifth character, actually. Someone says the donkey is the most compliant. Just got on the follow all the way. But the donkey, if you realize, the donkey can have two ways of seeing things. His perspective is two ways, right? He could be, Jesus is on the donkey. And as the donkey takes Jesus down the road, the donkey can say, wow, they are praising me, they are worshipping me, they are hosanna to me. And he get puffed up, right? The donkey could think that he is the one who is praised. Or the donkey could say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You made me worthy to you know, to have this Palm Sunday walk with you. The thankfulness, the gratefulness that God, you use me. I'm so thankful. Wow. They're praising you, and I am your vessel that you used to. I think that's the best way for us as believers. Always grateful, always thankful that God can use you. That God, Lord, as a pastor, as a leader, as God uses us. Thankful that God has chosen you. So every one of us, let's have that thankful heart that God chooses. Which character out of five would you ask God, help me to build that character in me? This character, which character? None of us would want the Pharisees, right? We want to have genuine faith, not bluff faith, not fake faith. Which one? Let's stand to our feet as I want to close. Don't miss out the time of God's coming to you. I want to talk to those who are pre-believers. You have not received Jesus. You have never received Jesus yet. Or those who have, another one is, you have gone away from the Lord. It's a some time that you have not worshipped the Lord, have not prayed, you have become cold in your faith. And today, how are you going to welcome the King? We will welcome the King by saying, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and Lord. I believe in you. Oh, wow, the prophecies of Jesus all came to pass. These are all, you know, what Jesus wants to tell you. These are truth. He is the Savior. And you want Jesus today. And today, this is your heart's cry. I want to pray for you. All you got to do is all eyes closed. It's a sacred moment. Those who want Jesus into their life, want to receive Jesus, can you put your hand up? And those who would like to come back to the... Yes, I see two hands there. They want to receive Jesus. Anyone else? They want to receive Jesus. Anyone else out there? Put your hands up and then put it down. Anyone else want to receive today? Today, do not miss the day of visitation from the Lord to let you be His Savior. Anyone else? And maybe also you said you want to come back to the Lord. You feel you are a bit far away from God. Today you say, yeah. No, I want to welcome the King. Today I'm going to welcome Him. Can you also put up your hand? Today is the day you're walking back into the presence of God. Yes. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Huh? You have received Jesus. Let's pray. We're going to pray a sinner's prayer, acceptance. You pray after me. Everyone help them. Huh? They have received Christ. They are receiving Christ. Let's pray this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sin. I accept Him as the personal, as my personal Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Thank you. I'm now a child of God. I belong to you. I welcome you as the King of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have been encouraged, make sure to follow us on Spotify. To get connected or find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Have a blessed week.